Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Last week, Thursday, marked the start of the 100th season of the National Football League. Now, I do not tell you this because you should keep up with it or even care at all. I only tell you this because you might remember a report from Michael Kokomize. He's a Philadelphia Church of God member who gave us a report on one of the past episodes of this show just to update us on a fundraiser down in Florida where church members have been staffing concession stands for about a decade now at Tampa Bay Buccaneers football games. Yesterday was the first Buccaneers home game in Tampa Bay. They had about 15 or 20 volunteers with our nonprofit group arriving at the stadium at 9 or 10 in the morning, receiving some training because it was the first game of the season, then serving food and drinks from about 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. There was a Tim McGraw concert at 2. The game wasn't even until 4 o'clock. Our volunteers didn't eat much all day. They even had a bit of a confrontation with an angry fan at one point. There weren't necessarily stools to sit on or a break room to go into to try to rest throughout the day a little bit. Our group of volunteers included elderly members who stood and worked and hardly ate for about 10 hours straight, all to raise money for God's work. All the money from sales and tips, all the revenue generated is donated to God's work. And that's what they do the fundraiser for every year. About 7 or 8 Sundays every year for about a decade now, Florida members have been participating in this fundraising. Giving up an entire Sunday and working through tough conditions can be hard on morale. It's definitely exhausting. It's also inspiring to the rest of us. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul talking to the wealthy Corinthian brethren. He was trying to stir them to action to support God's work. They were materialistic, they were worldly, they were caught up in physical pleasures. And Paul had to jolt them awake. He pointed the Corinthians to an astounding example. This is 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4 in the Revised Standard Version. We want you to know, brethren, about the grace of God which has been shown in the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of liberality on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. These Macedonian brethren were so poor they could hardly pay the bills. They had nothing compared to those in Corinth. And yet, they gave until it hurt. They sacrificed beyond their means. And then they even begged to do it even more. They were fired up about service. I know a lot of those Florida volunteers who have been taking part in this fundraiser. And this is just one of many that church members are involved in places around the world. But I can just imagine these Florida volunteers right now, probably telling other people, yes, we were hungry. Yes, we were tired. Yes, we're a bit sore today. And yes, we are eager to do it all over again in 2 weeks. Stadium management, we beg you to let us serve customers at the next game. That's the type of attitude that we see in God's church. People who really do give of their time, their energy, their effort, their money to the work. Anything they possibly can. And perhaps even more important than all of that is just prayer. Just really pouring themselves into prayer. Even if you can hardly do anything else, you can still pray. But they really did give at that fundraiser yesterday. That's a tiring day for someone like me. I'm 26. There were people out there around the age of 75 working all day like that on their feet. Really an inspiring example. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 9. This is just the next chapter over, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. This applies to any of these types of fundraisers or other service opportunities that may present themselves to you. Whatever it might be, any chance you might have to serve, usually it's not a matter of somebody else forcing you to do it. It really does come down to your own mindset, your own choice, your own attitude. Will you be happy about giving? Will you sow bountifully, serve bountifully, so that you can also reap bountifully? That's up to each of us individually when it comes to service. Those Florida members that I mentioned really did serve a lot. They served bountifully. And as a result, every year, they contribute tens of thousands of dollars to God's work. This is something that they couldn't do on their own. They had to get together as a group to contribute in this way. That amount of money, most of us can't afford to just give that amount of money. But by giving a handful of Sundays every year, they work together to give more than they ever could apart. The rest of this chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, shows that God blesses us for serving. He also builds our character through service. So as our character grows, as we push through service, as we sacrifice, as we do things that might be inconvenient for us personally, but really do serve a good purpose, we do also build our character. As we build our character, God blesses us for making that right choice to serve. And as we are blessed, we thank God. So really, service causes us to thank God. Through service, we glorify and honor God. Matthew 25 has this incredibly memorable story, Jesus Christ talking here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungry, and fed you? Or thirsty, and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. That's Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. Christ is illustrating the point here that the way we treat others really indirectly is a way of treating Christ. So however we treat others is the same way we're treating Christ. Now specifically that's talking about Christ's brethren, so probably people in the church specifically there, but you can really apply that to anyone you interact with. Whether literally feeding the hungry at a stadium concession stand, or spiritually feeding this suffering world a warning message of hope. All we do to serve our fellow humans actually serves God and Christ too. In every interaction with others, at home, at work, at school, out in public, we must behave as if we are interacting directly with Christ. Pretend as if the other person is Christ. Wouldn't this strategy help you get along better with even your enemies? Think of a mean boss. Maybe he's yelling at you for something you didn't even do wrong. Before you even respond to him, before you roll your eyes, before you shake your head, before you start yelling back, hopefully you never do that, take a moment and just try to picture Christ. How would you respond to Christ? Now, Christ probably wouldn't berate you unfairly, but how would you respond to Christ? Don't start fighting with your boss or, you know, a school bully. What about something like that? What if you tried to treat him exactly like you would treat Christ if he were sitting in person right next to you? Or an annoying sibling? Or an alienated spouse? Treat everyone like you would Jesus Christ. Show respect, love, patience, care, and kindness. In a long day like yesterday, for those Florida members, fundraising for the work, serving all day long, those hungry and thirsty football fans, there can be some tough situations that come up. There can be some people who get frustrated. Maybe people vent their anger on our volunteers for no reason at all. And yet, if we treat them the right way, if we respond with a soft answer, for example, we can turn away wrath. We can respond and be humble, try to understand where that other person is coming from, try to see that other person as a child of God, and treat that person with the utmost, highest quality service, really by just being a light to them, really by just setting an example, showing them maybe a better way to behave just through our own personal conduct. No matter who it is we're dealing with, no matter how inconvenient to you personally, just offer to serve. Offer to help. Serving is something that can be done individually or as a group, like those Florida volunteers, or, of course, in supporting the work of God. We can do all of these things in our lives every single day. And it is a beautiful way of life. If we just think about it and have positivity, it really can be an inspiring experience. I've had a lot of opportunities to serve at fundraisers or to maybe go over and try to clean up an elderly person's lawn or something like that. And it can be a long and tiring and hot day. Sure, you can get sore. But why would you want to focus on that when really the benefit is in your character, which then causes God to bless you, which then causes you to thank God? when really the other person you're serving is so much happier and better off for it? Or when the work you're serving thrives because you are contributing? That's really the way to think about service. And that can truly inspire us to push through any of those smaller negative details. And of course, ultimately, serving in God's work today sets us up for astounding positions of leadership tomorrow. Again, whether we're just serving individually, within our families, our congregations, out in public, at our jobs, at school, directly supporting the work, all of it gets back to supporting the work, really. Because when we serve, just in our personal lives, that is building character. And the work doesn't move forward without contributors who have character. It really is all about the work. These individual choices, these collective choices we make every day to serve, do help us to support the work. And there is such a great vision behind that. And Christ repeatedly said to those following him, if you serve the most today, you'll get to lead the most tomorrow. You'll be blessed beyond what you could even imagine. So I just was really inspired and excited to hear about the start of yet another year of fundraising at those football games down in Florida. And just wanted to share some of my thoughts, and not just my thoughts, but what the Bible has to say about service and how it really can propel the work forward through open doors like we would have never even thought possible physically. So we've been talking a little bit about service today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.